This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's been rough for stocks as of late, but the time-tested Dow theory is still very bullish, and buying stocks on the dip here is the play. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Gains. All right, let's bring on Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com. Always great to have you on the Gains podcast, Chuck.
Thanks for having me, Andy. It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, and as mentioned in the lead, you know, it's been a rough go for stocks as of late. Time-tested Dow theory, though, still very bullish. And when the Dow theory is bullish and stocks are getting roughed up, that means you buy the dips. So I just wanted to start there today. Dow theory's bullish. Explain to where we've been, where we're going, and why buying the dips is probably the right play right now.
Yeah, the last major signal under the Dow theory, which, as you know, looks at the movement of the Dow Jones Industrial and Dow Jones Transportation Average and determines whether the primary trend of the market is bullish or bearish. That under the Dow theory, the primary trend of the market, which typically lasts a minimum 8 months, and usually much longer, is bullish based on that last signal. Now, as I've mentioned to you on, and we've talked about on your show, it's not unusual that, you know, you have corrections within bull markets. In fact, they're a necessary evil. What they do is help kind of, skim the froth off of markets. They restore values, and they put the market in a better position to kind of extend its upward move. We're, according to the Dow theory, we're in one of those corrections right now. And these sorts of corrections within bull markets have certain characteristics, but perhaps the biggest characteristic is they scare the heck out of investors. And we're finally getting too close to that point of the fear, maximizing fear here, given the way the market has behaved over the last couple of months. And so, this is still a correction within a bull market, according to Dow theory. It is now fitting kind of those characteristics of being violent and sharp and creating a lot of fear, but that's what they do. And so I'm still fairly confident in the Dow theory. I'm still fairly confident that this is an opportunity. And, you know, based on trading that I've seen over the last few days, and including today's trading on Tuesday, I think we're getting pretty close to the bottom of this correction here, quite frankly.
How much would the market have to go to the downside where you'd start getting concerned that the Dow theory might not fully be in place?
Yeah, I think if I saw the Dow Industrials start to get back closer to, say, 3,100 or 31,000, 32,000, that would kind of give me some concern that maybe the Dow theory wasn't exactly spot on this time. So I think there's still a ways to go. You know, when you think about it, coming off that peak, that recent peak, you know, the Dow's not even down, 7%, 6%. So It feels much more aggressive. And when you look at certain areas of the market, I mean, there are a lot of technology stocks that have sold off 10, 15, 20%. Small cap stocks have really had a rough go over the last couple of months. There are a lot of stocks in the Russell 2000 small cap index, for example, that are down 33% or more from their 52-week high. So there has been the sort of damage that you typically see in a correction phase. But again, I think it still should be regarded as a correction and not a continuation of a bear market.
And then we've talked about how markets seem to, time is kind of consolidated a little bit. It's kind of crunched together for a lot of things to play out, you know, like they used to, say, 30, 40 years ago. We'd see stuff that would happen in 6 months now happen in 6 weeks. And I want you to touch on that. How much of volatility plays into this as well?
Yeah, and again, typically corrections last anywhere from 3 weeks to 3 months. Now, this one has been going on now probably for about 6 weeks, 7 weeks. So, you know, under the 3 weeks, 3 months, you know, there's still plenty of time for this correction to unwind and still be within that, you know, that 3 month parameter. But corrections, market moves of all kinds, typically now the moves have become much more compressed in nature, and the market moves more violently in shorter periods of time. So, you know, we're right in that area where, you know, I would expect that, you know, this is going to start to run its course, or has run its course. And the other factor, as I mentioned, that kind of is starting to make me feel that is, you know, I think last time we spoke, Andy, which maybe was a couple of weeks ago, you know, I didn't have the impression that there was enough fear in the market for the correction to have run its course, that investors were still kind of complacent. And I think that's starting to go by the wayside.
You feel like the pile on as of late, just like the last week or two, and just some of the news that's being shuffled around just seems way much worse than a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it does. And you start to see a lot of this, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, AI stocks are all way overvalued, and AI is artificial intelligence is, you know, a big, you know, bubble, and it's a big hoax, and it's not going to do. I mean, you start seeing these kind of narratives coming out. You start seeing narratives about some individual stocks that, you know, have been up, you know, 200% this year. So to give back 20 or 25% is not just, it's normal, it's expected. And yet, you know, you're reading these stories about these colossal pullbacks and, you know, bone crushing corrections, you know, declines occurring in certain stocks. And
it's called taking a profit, right? And for some of these folks, I mean, it's literally, I mean, you have a pullback when you have such an increase, double, triple value, you have a pullback of like 20, 30%. That's profit taking.
Well, it is. And, you know, we have to keep in context the time of year, not just seasonality, which, you know, August, September, October doesn't not tend to be a very great time of year, particularly September and October. But we're also, you know, we had an interesting year where you had big gains in stocks, and in certain stocks you had huge gains. We're getting toward the end of the year. You've got, you know, professional investors out there and hedge funds that are trying to protect their performance numbers to get that, you know, to get that 2 and 20, you know, fees that they capture. And so there's an inclination right now to play defense and to kind of lock down the profits and protect your fees and your profits for the year. And, you know, that's not unusual. And that's, you know, the type of thing that can fuel a secondary correction within a primary bull market. I mean, there's always reasons why stocks go down, and those reasons tend to get magnified as stocks decline. But it, you know, at some point, the fear and the contrarianism just reaches kind of the apex, and I think we're getting close to that point now, quite frankly.
And then, how do you play the bottom? What areas are generally most poised to move when you put in a kind of a test the bottom type scenario and then make that move again higher? What areas generally historically do well?
Yeah, oftentimes some of the previous leaders will snap back pretty nicely as the narrative shifts back. You'll get a little bit more of a broadening in the market too. So it should include kind of value stocks. It should include kind of small and mid cap stocks. But the one thing you don't want to do is kind of miss. You want to take advantage of these corrections, both in a broad sense by perhaps buying into some broad market indices, whether it's a large cap index or something like a total market index, which gives you exposure across large, mid, and small. And then you want to try to maybe pick off some individual stocks that you had been watching that have really kind of corrected as well. And again, these are the times when long-term investors make their money, where they're looking to establish positions in quality companies, and, they're waiting for pullbacks, and you got to act on it when you get them, and you're getting them now. So I think in the ensuing rally that should happen, that I hope happens, it's going to be pretty broad-based, I think. So I think you want to make sure that you're in a broad-based index to capture that, and then I think you can go, pick off some previous leaders. You can go, there are some tech stocks, for example, that we like a lot that have pulled back and are offering, I think, pretty interesting values. I'll give you two names. I think Alphabet continues to be a very interesting stock, and that has pulled back. And then the other stock is stock I mentioned yesterday on Broadcom, which is a semiconductor related stock that's also has some software to it, and a strong AI play, dividend yield of over 2%, so you get a nice dividend yield on it, and that stock has pulled back pretty substantially as well. And I think those are, in the technology space, those are ideas that should work going forward.
Broadcom has a unique ticker. Throw that out there real quick.
Yeah, it does. The ticker is AVGO, so it has nothing to do with sounding like Broadcom, but I believe the company used to be called Avago a while ago, and then they changed their name. And through, I think, an acquisition. So, but their ticker is A, V as in Victor, G O. That's Broadcom. And then the ticker for Alphabet is Google, G O O G L.
And then just real quick, this is kind of inside, but for Alphabet, I noticed there's two types of shares that trade: G O O G, G O O G L. I'm just curious, what's the difference? Let the Gains listener know there's a difference in class of shares, and I just want you to hit on that real quick.
I think there might be some voting share difference, but those track pretty closely. We typically do the GOOGL shares, but either one is fine. And again, the two stocks prices for each of those tickers usually track pretty closely. But again, we, if you held a gun to my head, I would say do the GOOGL versus the GOOG.
And then you mentioned this earlier, you got a lot of the Russell 2000. There's a lot of areas that have been roughed up there. As tech comes back, I think the Russell 2000 kind of poised for a big comeback as they kind of catch up with some of the other high flyers. Thoughts on the Russell 2000, that broader market there?
Yeah, I mean, that index, 4 to 8 weeks ago was up 14% for the year, and it might be flat now. So, I mean, in a fairly short period of time, it's basically given up everything that it earned this year. I think it's a case where there's some pretty nice companies that are in the Russell 2000, and, those are not to toot our horn, but those are the sorts of stocks that we do cover in our Upside publication, and you can learn more about that at upsidestocks.com. But there are, and what's interesting, Andy, is that at the end of the day, the stock market truly is a market of small stocks. And when you look at the 4,000 to 5,000, 6,000 publicly traded stocks out there, 90% of those are probably small cap stocks with market capitalizations of $5 billion and below. So to ignore small cap stocks, really, you're ignoring 9 out of every 10 publicly traded stocks, and you're really limiting your opportunity set. And yeah, in the Russell 2000 right now, small cap index, there are a lot of stocks that aren't behaving very well, but there are some very nice stocks in that index that I think it would work well for any investor's portfolio, quite frankly. And I can give you some of those names.
And Chuck, actually, we'll hit you up for some of the names on the UpsideStocks.com list when we get back from a quick break. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold. Would totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. We drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We'll be right back with Chuck after the break.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
All right, back with Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com. Chuck is out of Hammond, Indiana. As we were heading into break, you were kind of teasing it a little bit, but we wanted to. I wanted to ping you for some of the choices off your UpsideStocks.com list. Again, that's UpsideStocks.com. What do you got for us, Chuck?
Sure, I'll give you a number of names. I like Allison Transmission. Symbol is ALSN. Stock trades for around $59 a share. You get a dividend yield of about 1.6%. Allison does, as the name implies, they do auto parts oftentimes for large vehicles. They have kind of natural gas transmission systems. It's a really solid company. It's one that we like quite a bit. That's Allison Transmission. Another company we like is Comfort Systems USA. Symbol is FIX. Stock trades for about $170 a share. Dividend yields about 0.5%. Some other names: EMCOR, symbol EME. Stock trades for about $209. They're in an infrastructure play, which is a nice space to be in, and it's a stock that has hung in there very well. Actually, all the stocks that I've mentioned have hung in there pretty well, and I like to see that kind of relative performance in an area of stocks that are usually getting battered. Stocks that are holding up pretty well are in strong hands and likely to continue to do okay. In addition, if somebody's looking for a high-yielding investment among small and mid-cap stocks, and they're not afraid of limited partnerships, we have Plains All American, which is a midstream limited partnership in the energy space. Yield is about 7%, and the stock's trading at about $15. It's 52-week highs, about 16. So it's a stock, again, that has hung in there very well. Get a really nice dividend yield, and it gives you an interesting play in the energy space. And then finally, the last name I'll shoot out there is Sterling Infrastructure. Again, another infrastructure play. Solid, solid company. It has pulled back. 52-week highs, 84. It's down to about 71 right now, and I think it's an excellent opportunity to pick up a really strong stock. The symbol on that is S as in Sam, T as in Tom, RL. That's Sterling Infrastructure, TRL. Trades for about $71 a share.
Always appreciate the juicy picks there. On just looking at the market now, again, the Dow theory, bullish. and we're buying on the dips, and it makes sense to do so. But just looking at threats to the market, what do you see right now, Chuck, as the biggest threat for stocks and that could just, you know, derail all of this?
Rates, interest rates. I mean, and because interest rates, Andy, as you know, they price the attractiveness of alternative investments to equities. So, you know, it's one thing if, you know, and you go back to February of 2022 and, you know, you could earn, you know, 0.003 on a, you know, a money market account. Fast forward, and now you're earning, you know, around 5%. You know, it's interesting if most people wouldn't realize that the one investment where the returns have increased 300-fold in a little over a year is a simple money market. I mean, the returns have gone up 30,000%. It's been a pretty good investment.
Right.
To have.
Yeah, and a lot of people wouldn't think that now, too, since coming out of the world that we've lived in for a very, very, very long time.
Right. And so, you know, that puts pressure on stocks. I mean, if you can earn, you know, 5% fairly risk-free, or you buy a, you know, a 10-year a 2-year treasury that's yielding over 5%, and that's, you know, that's pretty much money in the bank. There's the risk there, if as long as you're willing to hold it for 2 years, is pretty much non-existent. You know, that's a powerful lure to keep money out of stocks and do that. So if you have this continued increase in rates, which increases, you know, CD rates and increases money market rates, et cetera, that's going to be challenging for stocks. I mean, stocks, what has to happen in an environment like that is you've got to create, you know, that fear of missing out in investors, and it's a lot harder to create FOMO if you can get 5% on your money in cash. It can happen. I mean, if the market all of a sudden starts going on a tear and it goes up 7% in the next 6 weeks, you know, you're going to see people starting to buy stocks again. That's just the human nature. But again, you asked me what the biggest challenge is for the market right now. And to me, that challenge is interest rates, because, you know, the higher rates go, the more attractive alternatives to stocks are. And that pulls money out of stocks and puts it into money markets and CDs and treasury securities, et cetera.
I've been talking to a lot of other analysts on the Gains podcast and during the noon business hour, and they always talk quality. They like quality here. I know you follow the Dow. You follow a lot of big quality names. You gave us some of the smaller names on the UpsideStocks.com list. But then there's quality, and there's also, you know, quality that's throwing off nice dividends. So when people are looking for quality, what areas do you like, or what companies do you like right now?
Yeah, I mean, if you're, you know, again, I mentioned Alphabet. I think a high quality company, you don't get a dividend with it, but I think it's a high quality company. If you're looking for some dividend income, another high quality stock is United Health. I mean, it's a company that consistently beats expectations. It's a monster in its field. It's, you know, a bluest of the blue chips. United Health, UNH, is a stock that I like and own and have held for a long period of time. And then you start getting into, you know, certain areas such as, you know, in the utility space, which is an area that's just gotten worked over dramatically. You know, if somebody's looking for some dividend yield there, you know, a company like NiSource, the symbol is NI, is a nice play in the utility space. Outside the utility space, and I would imagine a lot of your listeners are more non-utility type folks, you know, I think you start looking at a company like Parker Hannifin, symbol is PH, that's in a lot of different areas, including aerospace, which is an area that I think will continue to perform quite well, and that's a sector that I think investors should have some exposure to. And Parker Hannifin is a nice quality company in that space, symbol is PH.
Well, and buying these stocks on dips, whether they're quality or some of these smaller names, you know, if you got the time horizon, get that horizon. If you got the time horizon, then, you know, these moves now, and you even mentioned it earlier, this is where you make the hay. And this is where people make the hay long term. So just kind of speak to that and that long horizon and the trade you're making now and what it will lead to in the future.
Yeah, I mean, you're buying merchandise at cheaper prices. Now, I will caution you that you are probably not going to pick the bottom. You might get lucky, but you know, you very well could go buy some of these stocks and they show a little bit further weakness, and you sit there and think, geez, I'm a dummy for doing that. But if you're waiting, you know, as that old saying, Andy, as you know, nobody rings the bell at the bottom, right? So you never really know for sure until after the fact where the bottom is. The best you can do is take a look at stocks, pick the ones you like, see how they've been trading. If you can get it 10, 15, 20% cheaper than where it was, you know, 4 months ago, maybe that's not going to be the bottom, but at least you know you're not buying it at the top. And if you're really worried about, the stock continuing to decline, you know, dollar cost average your way into a stock. If you were going to buy 100 shares of a stock, buy 25 or 50, get the ball rolling. If it goes down further, pick up another 25. I mean, there are a number of ways to handle buying on corrections as opposed to just backing up the truck and dumping all your money in, which, you know, for some people that works just fine too. But if you're sitting there and you have a lot of cash and you're wondering when to start to deploy it, I think you start to deploy it now. You don't necessarily have to put it all in, but you know, if you're sitting there with a ton of cash, you know, and you have this opportunity, you got to throw in at least 10-20% of that cash into the market and get the ball rolling. Because if you're waiting for the perfect bottom to put it all in, you're going to wait forever. You're just not going to do it. And
that's an excellent point, Chuck. You know, a lot of people, they wait, and then that market just never goes back to the levels they're looking for. And that's the other part of this, is there is truly a big time danger of being out of the market and then just never being able to pull that trigger to get back in. The money you leave on the table is just, it's frankly disturbing.
Oh yeah, no, and I've been doing this and following markets for over 40 years, and I can tell you unequivocally, the biggest risk of investing is not being in the market when it goes down, but it's being out of the market when it goes up. And you know, that's why aggressive market timing, it can be dangerous. And as you know, Andy, I mean, yes, we use the Dow theory to guide us and to help us. But you also know that, you know, I am not 100% out of the market during bear markets and 100% in the market during bull markets. I mean, a pretty negative viewpoint for us on the market is, you know, being 65-70% invested when we could be 100% invested. You know, that's a pretty bearish outlook for us. So, and the reason for that is we recognize that, again, the biggest risk is being out of the market when it takes off, because the market moves, as you know, in dramatic fits and starts. And there's been tons of research done over the years that shows that, you know, had you been, you know, over a 30-year period, had you been out of the market for just the 10 best days in that 30-year period, your returns would shrink up to virtually nothing. I mean, markets move in fits and starts, and they move in a very short, dramatic fashions, you know, separated by long periods of kind of sideways to trading, which is kind of what we've seen here. But you got to be in the market to capture those up moves. And, you know, keep in mind, since 1926, stocks have gone up on average 3 out of every 4 years. So anytime you make a big bet to be out of the market, you're making a big bet against a long-term historical probability that stocks rise. So I'm going to get off my soapbox now.
That's a good really soapbox to be on, and very important advice for a lot of folks, because I've seen people who've gotten out of the market at the right time, but could never just get back in. And they're that they talk about leaving money on the table. Well, we've covered a lot of ground. You've given us a ton of picks, both small and quality, and I appreciate that. But as we wrap up today's conversation, Chuck, what is the takeaway for the Gaines listener?
Stay the course here. The correction is doing exactly what corrections are supposed to do, is scare the heck out of you. Don't be scared. Take advantage of them. If you have to take advantage of them in a piecemeal way because that's palatable to you, go ahead and do that. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But don't get panicked out of the market and step up and take advantage and do some buying here because I think you'll be glad you did.
Big thanks to Chuck Carlson, CEO of Horizon Investment Services and publisher of the website UpsideStocks.com. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts if that's an option for you. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gaines episode drops. We drop Gaines episodes on Wednesday mornings, and I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast powered by Odyssey.